From the Gospel of John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into those nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And through this belief, you may have life in his name. Good morning. And thank you for the invitation to preach here at Westminster Presbyterian. As you may have been able to gather from my bio in your bulletin, I generally worship in the Catholic tradition. Today this gospel is being read in every Catholic church in the United States. Also, Catholics refer to today as Divine Mercy Sunday. And there's a reason for that, but it's a long story, so I'm not going to go into it here today. But I do want to talk about divine mercy and why it's for everyone. This gospel story covers two distinct incidents where Jesus visits the disciples, who are basically hiding out. They're grieving, they're confused, they're scared, they're not sure what their future holds in the wake of the death of Jesus. During the first visit, we hear Jesus say to his disciples, "Peace be with you." And then he commissions them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." In the second visit, Jesus again starts with "Peace be with you," and then he addresses Thomas directly. He shows him his wounds, and Thomas responds, "My Lord and my God." Probably how we would respond as well. But Jesus does not admonish Thomas. He gives him something to ponder. He asks him, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" And then in his divine mercy, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." We are disciples of Christ, and the message of Jesus had for those hiding in the room is the same message and commission he gives to us. Folks, as disciples of Jesus, he is speaking to us. Each and every one of us has the power to forgive and offer mercy to each other. My husband and I are parents to 5 adult children. And we have 2 grandchildren, and I believe they're God's gift for not killing the 5 of our own. But you learn a lot about divine mercy when you're raising children. So I'm going to get a little nostalgic with you. I can remember a time when each of these children loved me unconditionally. I could do no wrong. The sun rose and set with me. And I can remember joking with my husband when our youngest was the last one who thought that I could do no wrong. And I said, "Oh, sure, he loves me today, but a time will come and he'll turn on me too, just like the rest of them." So, The day came. He was about 7. He was dragging his feet, getting ready for school. We were late. And of course, it was my fault because I didn't drive fast enough. I reminded him of his many delays that morning. And this is the day that he turned against me. He starts to hop out of the car, and I say, "What? No kiss goodbye?" And he looked at me, and he just slammed the door and ran into school. So I called my husband from the car, and I was half laughing, and I was half upset. And I was like, it finally happened. The last one turned against me, and I told him what happened. So I found out later that when my husband got home, he pulled Tim aside, and he asked him about the morning. And he said, "What's this I hear? You didn't kiss your mother goodbye this morning." She was so upset, she called me from the car. He's like, I'm not sure what that was all about, but I think you need to tell Mom you're sorry. Well, 3 days went by. He wasn't making eye contact. We were speaking just about where's my lunch, those kind of things. And finally, he came up to me on the third day, and he gave me a big hug and said he was sorry. Whoops. And of course, I said I had already forgiven him 3 days before. Because you see, my love for him did not change during those 3 days. Just like God's love for you doesn't change because of anything you do. God is always waiting to be reconciled with you. God is always ready with divine mercy. I have one more story to illustrate the divine mercy of God. I work with college students. So to keep in touch, I have a social media account. As I pondered what I was going to talk about today, this story came across my Facebook newsfeed. So here's an example of divine intervention. A young woman named Carrie Harbert shared this story, and I'm going to quote her. "I was at the grocery store this morning and heard a loud crash and something shattering. Being nosy, I walked toward the sound and saw some people whispering and looking back to the end of the next aisle. When I walked down that aisle, I saw an older lady had hit a shelf containing dishes with her cart, and many had fallen to the ground and broke. She was kneeling on the floor, embarrassed, frantically picking up the shattered pieces, while her husband was peeling off the barcode from each broken dish, saying, 'Now we'll have to pay for all of this.' I felt so bad for her, and everyone was just standing there staring at her. I went and knelt beside her and told her not to worry and started helping her pick up the broken pieces. After about a minute, the store manager came and knelt beside us and said, 'Leave it. We will clean this up. Let's get your information so you can go to the hospital and have that cut on your hand looked at.' The lady, totally embarrassed, said, I need to pay for all of this first.' The manager smiled, helped her to her feet, and said, 'No, ma'am. We have insurance for this. You do not have to pay anything.'" So Carrie suggests that anybody who's read her story this far, she asks them to do something, and I'm going to ask you to do this. Close your eyes and imagine God doing the same thing for you. You see, folks, divine mercy can be understood in two ways. The first is not getting something bad that one deserves. "Oh, I could have punished my son for making us late that morning, but instead I waited for him to return to me just as God waits on us." The second way of understanding mercy is getting the good that one does not deserve. That is grace. The woman in the last story was ready to pay for every broken dish, but the manager basically says to her, "All is forgiven." We are all commissioned to forgive. Mercy is why forgiveness exists. Jesus offered Thomas mercy, enabling him to believe, "My Lord and my God." Jesus is also looking to bring reality to your faith. I often start my day with a short reflection, and I ask, "Jesus, for whom will I be you today? Who will come to know you by my actions and my responses today?" And then I ask Jesus, "Help me to see you in everyone I encounter. Help me to see who will be you for me today." For some of us, the biggest step we take on Sunday morning is actually walking into church. But for all of us, the most important step we take is walking out of the church to bring the good news of Jesus to the world. So as we take that important step this morning, is there someone you need to ask forgiveness from? Like my son asked me, go and ask for that forgiveness. Or is there someone you need to forgive as Jesus forgives Thomas for doubting? Give your forgiveness freely. Respond to God's divine mercy, because Jesus leaves this promise for all of us. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Thank you.